Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. Happy Sunday to you. I hope you are all doing very well. Boy, we are right at the end of our political debate season and all the noise and all the commercials. Next Tuesday, the election takes place, and boy, it has been a lot. So today, I'm going to give my two cents on politics, and no, I will not tell you who to vote for. I do have an opinion, but it'll show up here later. But really what I want you to do is to look deeper at the issue. It's just not about foreign policy. It is not about the Democrats having the right ideas. It's not about the Republicans having the right ideas or the other having the wrong ideas. It's not about abortion. It's not about the budget. It's not about war and the military. It's not about our spending. The thing that's making the world wrong or go bad is not that other thing over there. And today I hope that I'm able to convince you of that. Our topic today is called Politics and Seeing, and I think I can't come up with a single expression. Oh my gosh. It's just one of those things, politics and seeing. It's one of those things that if we miss it, we're in something that we can't get out of. What am I talking about? So let's talk about what politics really is. If two people negotiate their plans for lunch, they have engaged in politics. If a family shares different expectations for a vacation, politics is the process that strives to align everyone onto the same path. Every small business, every classroom, every community church, every team, every HOA, or every group is political. They're all political. Every gathering is political. At first, smaller organizations align people around a common goal or a purpose that brings individuals together into something bigger than themselves. For example, you know, a softball team is capable of more softball experiences than a single player can have in their yard. And softball as a team is a bigger thing than the individual playing softball. And it's that way about anything. You know, our HOA is bigger than any one of our housing projects, right? The community church and its mission is bigger than any single person. You know, if we want to help the poor or reach those in need, we can do more as a community than we often can as a single organization. And so all of these organizations, but all of them are political. Now, if you're thinking of political in terms of Democrat or Republican, then you're missing my point. Political is that they're all political in the sense that somebody helps influence the others to come to a common purpose or plan. So this happens no matter what size it is. But as an organization grows bigger, the greater infrastructure is required in order to promote the common goal of the group. So as the group gets bigger, it bears greater influence within the larger culture. And at a certain point, it becomes its own subculture or even counterculture. And a great example of this is religion, right? These are people who join together for a purpose supposedly higher than their own. And as it gets larger, it becomes an influencer in the culture And it also becomes its own subculture. It can even be a counterculture. So, you know, this is part of what happens, but you can't get that kind of organization without some kind of infrastructure. And by the time we get to the agenda of a city or a state or a country or a world power, we're talking about monumental tasks of influencing and organizing hundreds of millions of people. That's a big deal. That requires a ton of infrastructure. Yeah, we call ours the government. Obviously, not all people, when you have a big group, share a common goal. I mean, just in the back seat of my car, when I have two kids, I don't have alignment most of the time. I mean, they disagree on where we eat for lunch or what we should do next. So if you add hundreds of millions of people to the equation, the expectation is that most are not going to see everything eye to eye. Now, whether it's lunch or foreign policy, this is the case. And so the net effect is a binary system of winners and losers, especially in the big systems, okay? So you're kind of getting a picture here. I'm painting a story of how politics is everywhere. It's unavoidable. It's part of our human social reality. It's always political. Somebody is always in power, and it's the person who bears the most influence. And that gets to ultimately create, if you have dissenting opinions, a binary system of winners and losers. The bigger the system, the more pronounced the winners and more pronounced the losers. And every organization reaches a size where its bigger purpose actually becomes secondary to its own self-interest. You see, as that infrastructure grows, the necessity to protect and shore up and make sure you don't lose that infrastructure is required in order to do any of the original big purpose that the organization was there for. So if you were there to end world hunger, you developed an organization that was really big, at some point, that big organization has to take care of itself, or it cannot continue in its goal of working on big or world hunger, and it collapses in its own weight. So the big purpose that starts these organizations usually doesn't continue to be the first and foremost purpose. The first and foremost purpose of every big organization ultimately becomes its own self-interests. So regardless of size, those with the power get to establish the rules and the goals of the group. And as you have bigger infrastructure, you have to have more control over that, which means more bureaucracy, which means if you have more bureaucracy, you have more rules. If you have more rules, you have to be able to govern and police those rules, which require more resources. And so the energies of any organization are now divided between maintaining what it is and expanding to do more of what it originally started. This is the result of politics. This is the result of trying to do things. It ends in a binary system, like I said. And like I said, whenever somebody is in power, they get to establish the rules. And usually it's economic power, social power, racial power, religious power. All of those things are the places where the person gets to create the rules of the group. And so in politics, power is always the central thrust behind it all. And I've heard many people, I've never been to Washington, D.C., but I've heard many people say that when you go there, you can see and feel, it's almost tangible, the hunger for power and control. And I mean, I see this in the corporate environment in which I work. I've seen it in churches. And no matter where you go, there's always somebody climbing up, striving, ascending for more power, more control, more leadership. And I think most people have the eyes to see this. And no doubt every one of us has felt the bite of the powerful when we dissented from the herd at some point. I mean, we have never been in perfect alignment with every organization. At some point, you get a speeding ticket, or at some point, you are scolded for straying from the herd. I mean, the system is designed to crush the stray. Don't you ever forget that. This is the truth. The system cannot have a bunch of stray opinions. The stray opinion becomes relegated to the sidelines. You know, I've served 25 years in the church ministry, and my opinions and my things that I would see in Scripture and my love for Scripture has caused me to move outside of what is traditional. And many, many times, my viewpoints on certain subjects and ideas have relegated me to the sidelines. More than once, I mean, I've been fired from most of the church roles that I've ever been in. And why is that? It's not because I'm a bad person. It's because I don't fit in within the system, and I've been bitten by those in power who hold the power. They don't want a dissenting opinion. So the system always crushes the stray, whether you're in a church, whether you're in the PTA, whether you are leading a softball group, or if you're running the government. I mean, don't forget, it was the church and the state that put Jesus on the cross, okay? They don't want the stray. And too often, the stray goes out and begins their own organization, don't they? They want to have control and power, and then they want to take on the opponent. So the stray goes out there, and they build up ammunition and people and power. This happens in a schoolyard when, you know, you see a boy or a student who is outnumbered by bullies, and then they go and recruit others to get even, and then you kind of have this big fight going on. Now, if we can see that kind of tendency in grade school, you know, behavior out on the schoolyard, we have to be able to gain the eyes to see it in the big show that's going on right before our eyes in our daily news. And this is what I'm hoping for you in this podcast. I want you to gain the eyes to see what this is all about. You see, big politics is big power. And big power is big power plays. And it works. It has an effect of drawing people in. It draws most people in. But did you know that big politics only succeeds by getting people to pick sides? It only succeeds by getting people to pick sides. You got to pick a team and then get on that team. Because we know that when we pick a team, we would never pick the wrong team. We would only pick the right team. Remember, binary system. So if you are on a team and you're on the right team, then by default, that other team has to be the wrong team. They have to be the stupid ones. They have to be the idiots. They have to be the ones that are causing the problems, right? And as long as you pick one side or the other, you are in the system. Now, if the power machine can lure you into alignment with either side, then it gains the power. It gains the power. But where does it get that power? We're going to talk about that. If the schoolyard divides and rallies behind the kids, then the fight expands, right? If you got three kids and they're picking on one kid, and he goes out and gets two more friends, then now you've got six people fighting. 3-on-3, and it doesn't get resolved the first day at lunch, and they go back, and they each recruit 10 friends. Now they come back, and we've got 13-on-13, and the fight just expands. Where did that thing get so big? At some point, it becomes a huge brawl. Now, if a teacher, a neutral, wise party, a third way, doesn't intervene, then it's going to get bigger. But when one can come between and pull them out of the fight, it diffuses the power of the group. It takes away the power. So the big machine has power, and it doesn't have to have it. But it only has power when we get involved by picking sides. Now, despite the arguments that we see on our radio or see on our TV and we hear on our radio, that we're watching all around us in our newspaper and everything else, despite all the noise, neither side has ever taken anybody's freedom. You got to hear that, because both sides love to say, oh, you know, those Democrats, they're going to take all your freedoms. They're going to take your money, your taxes. They're going to tax you to heck, and they're going to take all your freedom. Oh, no, no, it's the Republicans. No, no, they're never going to let anybody beyond the rich have any freedom at all. They're going to hoard it all to themselves, and you'll never be free if you vote for the Republicans, right? Don't listen to that. Neither side has ever taken anyone's freedom. All the freedom is freely abdicated by each of us the moment we pick a side. Do you get that? The power to take our freedom was given to the political machine when we voted our party line. As soon as we picked a side, we gave up our freedom to it. It didn't take it from us. We gave it. We abdicated it. Most of us don't see this. We just assume we have to join a team, and like sheep, we just follow. So let me help us kind of decode this a little bit. United people are a threat to institutions. They always have been. These renegades have always kind of been out there teaching and doing things and undermining the power of the machine. And so they have to relegate these people to the sidelines, minimize them, tell them they're stupid, tell them they're weak, tell them they're dumb, tell them they don't see it. This is all the things they all taught Jesus and said to Jesus and eventually killed Jesus. That same story of Jesus is replayed in countless lives across our planet every single day in countless ways. We don't need to create an opposite power. We do not need to create an opposite power if we want to take on the machine. We need only take back our power, and the machine will die. It's an important reality here. It's not so big that there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, there's everything to do about it. The machine can only live if you pick a side. So pick a side, and then you die. But if you refuse to pick the side, then it dies. It loses its power. It's the basic truth of how politics works. It's the reality, and it's the crux of why the machine works so hard to keep us distracted. It wants to keep you very upset and angry. It wants to keep you fearful. So it's going to pump you full of images of people doing terrible things. It's going to make you afraid of all those people who are different than you. They're going to ruin your life. They're going to take life as you know it, and it's going to be gone, right? This is the thread that the big machine spins over and over and over. Why? Because that enlists you in the fight. When you're afraid and you're angry, you're going to go down and vote for a team. And they don't care which team. Trust me, whether you vote Democrat or Republican, you are getting the same thing. They always like to say, oh, the Democrats raised the spending. Oh, the Republicans raised the spending. If you look at the facts, every president raises the spending every term, no matter what their political affiliation. Why? Because the machine just gets bigger. And as it gets bigger, it spends more. That's the reality. If you don't like that reality, it's not the Democrats' fault. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's your fault. You can take back your power, but you give it to the machine so it grows, just like I did most of my life. Now, as long as you're distracted, angry, or fearful, you're going to feed this thing. And so long as we feel we need to fight, then the machine wins. Politics runs on self-interest. Love of others and self-emptying is a power strong enough to dissolve the petty impulses of what fuels our politics and our competition. Now, this is where a lot of people are going to call me just a whack job. Oh, you're saying love is loving one another as an alternative to political power? Yes, I am. It's way bigger, way stronger. But sadly, the vast majority of people cannot see this aspect of reality. They choose not to see it. They see love as actually ineffective, as powerless. Most would rather fight than love, because it doesn't require the soul work of humility, does it? To truly see somebody who's different than you and to love them, have compassion, have mercy, to give something of yourself away so that for the sake of that other person, that takes a tremendous amount of personal growth and soul work. To vilify them, hate them, judge them because you don't know them and you just fear them, that doesn't take any work at all. So fighting is way easier than love, and so why not just tell others that love is powerless? But I got to tell you, things are changing. There is a growing minority that has regained its power, and it has learned to love again. And it's gaining the eyes to see the man behind the curtain in our real-life version of Oz. This group is going to change the world. Now, politics is the perfect subject to access this core component of our heart. And this is what I'm really getting at. I don't care what you vote for next week, but I hope that you can do so from a changed heart. Next Tuesday, we will all be tested. We will abdicate our power by giving away to one side of the same machine, or we will join the groundswell of people who say enough is enough. We cannot complain about the brawl in the schoolyard if we pick up sticks and join into the fight. And the one who shows up with the guns and shoots all the kids is hardly solving the problem. So we must have the eyes to see that the war is not out there. It's not against those people. The war is where it always has been. It's within each of us as we own our own prejudices. We acknowledge our own fears, and we take note of our indignations. We have the power to pull people out of the fight and to restore order to the world. It's the power of love. It's the greatest power in the world, in the universe. And any religion that says it loves but votes for war is completely false. And I get that straight out of 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. So those of you who are brave enough to do the work of love are called the people of God. Those who are brave enough to do the work of love, to do the soul work, to make a change, you are called the church. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.